This is podtech.net. I'm Jason Lopez. Here is the keynote of Ed Zander, who's the chairman and CEO of Motorola. He spoke at the Gartner Symposium IT Expo 2006 at Moscone West in San Francisco. He gave his keynote as part of a conversation with Gartner analysts Nick Jones and Ken Delaney. And in this first of three parts to his keynote, Zander explains the latest products from Motorola, the mobile internet, and why a Motorola email platform doesn't make sense.
I guess we might like to start with some of the questions that I know the audience here want to hear about, because there's a lot of corporate guys out there in the audience looking for the next new device, exciting device, to deliver to their organizations. And I can see you've got one on the table there. So back in June of last year, you announced the Q, and it's only just coming to market. So why did all this take so long? These guys have been waiting for a long time.
It's a good device. It took time. No. First of all, it was July, not
okay,
June.
Okay.
And
yeah, so we'll give you a month.
Yeah. Well, it matters. We're a little late. You know, I mean, we thought January is when we'd have the device. Hopefully in the next week, this will be available to buy. We're just about in the final throes of getting this release with our partner. I think you're going to like it. I think, I've been using it now for 4 months myself, and it has this is Windows Mobile 5.0, a complete office environment. So you've got your mail, your calendar, your contact list, everything you want to do. But it's also unique in a couple of other areas. It's very thin, as you can see, thinner than a razor. It's got complete Bluetooth capability, speaker, megapixel camera. And the real stunning thing about it is its multimedia capability, full MP3s, stereo capability, and video that rivals anything in the portable MP3 player market today in terms of video capability. And probably the nicest thing about it all, it makes great phone calls. Because we are, you don't need to carry around two of these like you're doing today. One will suffice. This makes as good a call as anything I've seen in anything we produce with the kind of networks we're doing it. So pretty unique, pretty interesting, and I think you're going to like it for the corporate market as well for the prosumer market. Anybody here that has on their own personal use, for example, Yahoo or AOL, you can do your own POP account and have Yahoo on here or AOL on here or your own email systems.
Yeah, I've seen the browser. It looks quite nice. You know, I understand the first device will be out on CDMA, our sources tell us, and that a lot of manufacturers are having trouble getting, you know, the chips to power the UMTS devices. The operators have demanded such a high quality of or a high particular type of network that they want to implement that everybody's being delayed till the end of the year. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I think we're coming out not just on CDMA, but CDMA, you know, DO type capability. So we're trying to get the advanced next generation 2.5G, 3G networks because you really do want to download some interesting content on here. And if you're in the enterprise, for example, CRM applications or spreadsheet applications or other things that require more intensive communication. So we went for the big pipes first on CDMA, and toward the end of the year, you'll see UMTS and potentially HSDPA versions of this thing as the chips get in. That's going to really be exciting around the world because you're going to be able to really pump a lot of video, audio, and rich content on these devices. So I can't, because of the camera angle, show you the demos here. Go to our booth, and I think you'll get blown away with if you've seen any portable players running music and video, I don't think you've seen something as good as this, and does your email, and does make phone calls, and takes pictures, and has a speaker on it that and is this thick. So it's amazing to see the technology and how far it's advancing, and working with the network operators, bringing this rich capability. And it does have impact on the enterprise, because you think about all your workers and what we're able to give the workers now. And basically, since I've started using this, I've used my PC probably a third less. When I make one or two-day trips like I'm doing today, I leave it home and just this is all I really need to do everything I'm doing.
Can I ask you a question about rich media? Because one of the things we notice is all the operators are very keen on rich media, delivering mobile TV and capabilities like that. And handset manufacturers like yourself are all out there producing handsets that can display TV and things. And I don't think I've actually ever seen anybody looking at TV on a phone on the street or anything like that. Do you think this is maybe all sort of really hyped, all the rich media on phones and things? Do you think the real applications of the future are not going to be TV at all?
I think if you get outside the United States, if you were in Italy, you'd be seeing soccer games on TV. We did a trial with the Italian.
Now that's streaming, or is that actually streaming. Downloads?
No, streaming. You know, live TV. We did it for the Olympics on it. World Cup soccer in Europe is going to be huge for live TV. Now, you know, the real question is, what are you going to watch and how long are you going to watch? In Korea, for example, for $14.99 a month, you get all the TV you want right now inside of Seoul, Korea. So you need the network. But I tell you, I'm a big sports fan, and I'm on the go a lot. And if I can watch, you know, the last period of the Sharks game the other night, or tune into to certain other sporting events, yeah. I mean, I have an NFL game on here, and again, you can't see it out there. But go take a look at our booth. I've got the Bear 49er game. That it's not live, but it gives you an idea of the quality of what you can see on here. So.
So you think it'll be a good business for the operators then?
Absolutely.
You think they'll make
a more importantly, it's video snacking that's going to be even more important. The real opportunity here, and it also works for the enterprise too, is what type of content will be delivered over the network. So I think there are two things that are going to happen. One is if I hear a song or I want to get right now with VCast, they cache ESPN, CNN, CNBC every 10 minutes, so you can get live, quote live, semi-live, you know, couple minute caching. But the other thing to do is to bring this into your home and connect this to your DVR. So you go to sleep at night early, you like Letterman's top 10 list, you missed American Idol, you want to see the shortened version of it during the night, this gets loaded onto your DVR.
What's your cell phone going to look like after you've streamed all this hours and hours of media?
Well, it's gonna replace things you do today over the internet, and as you get these 3G networks deployed, the cost curve is going to come down, just as we've seen with voice calls. We're going to see data become pervasive over the internet. I mean, the big thing you really get with this whole thing is we spent the last 10 years making the internet come into our homes and to our enterprises. Mm-hmm. We're going to spend the next 10 years getting the internet in the air to our homes, to our enterprises, and to ourselves. So internet goes air. Mobile broadband internet is going to make the current internet fad, or not fad, the current internet of the last 10 years pale in comparison in terms of the pervasiveness and use of it. And it's going to affect anybody out there. I mean, Motorola today, we have 65,000 employees. I will tell you, we have lined up not only queues, but all types of devices for our workforce, our manufacturing, people that do service repair, people on the manufacturing line with the mobile internet, because we can drive applications. And our CIO sitting here today is now driving basically what we need for enterprise applications to all of these mobile workers. If we can get our mobile workers, you know, I don't need offices and desks for a lot of my people. I can have a much more productive, much more competitive workforce using the mobile internet. Now, we're in the early stages, like 95, 96, 97, talking about the internet if I was sitting here. You know, a lot of people didn't get it, couldn't believe it, and today it's part of our life. Well, the mobile broadband internet is going to have that same impact on our homes, on our people, and on our enterprises.
So let's just ask you another question about handsets here. You know, so a lot of people out there in the audience watch the show 24 with Jack Bauer. And he seems to make a cell phone work any place in the
30,000 feet up.
Incredible what that guy does, right? And it never drops out on him. He can talk to the president for hours and hours. No problem.
And you notice he uses Motorola products.
All right.
The president is using...
So that's a phone that we can't buy today.
That's true.
So
especially made for
when are we going to see that phone? You know, tell us what's going to be the next generation of phones.
Well, I think we have a lot of engineering still to do. One is to make, you know, this is the idea of seamless mobility we talk about. So the frustration is, how does this, you know, let me take my razor out. How does this work in the home? How does this work in the enterprise? So how do you move from a cellular world into an IP world or protected IP?
Like a Wi-Fi world.
Well, no, the enterprise world. How do you get on my backbone network in a very uninterrupted, secure fashion? So this dual mode capability. How do I go into my house and get on my Wi-Fi network and then make calls with this device over the VoIP wireline or cable network? And that's happening. I mean, the demos we're doing today with people like Comcast and Verizon wireline is how to bring this into the house, dock it, use your cordless phone, same phone number, dock it to my DVRs for content, and vice versa, make phone calls out over the wireline network. Same thing with the enterprise. How do we bring this into the enterprise? You could be doing a voice conference, a video conferencing call, a voice conferencing call outside in the parking lot, walk into the inside your company and get on your protected IP network and not lose or drop the call. So these seamless interfaces between cellular worlds and enterprise worlds or Wi-Fi worlds is what we're all working on today. And then investigating, I think, breakthrough disruptive technology around WiMAX as the future to also drive. But I think as you begin to see, you know, people always say to me, I can go to China and go to the Great Wall of China and make a better phone call than here in the United States. And it's probably true, because the investments made in places like that, or Europe for that matter, early on, you produce a better experience. But we'll get there in the U.S. One of the problems I have talking about my industry is sitting here in the United States, because most of the action around 3G, video, music, top gaming, some of the applications is being driven in places like China, Japan, and Korea. They invested early in 3G networks in Europe.
So it's an investment, not a cultural thing.
Developing countries didn't have the money to put in telephone poles, for that matter. So you go into China and India today, it's all mobile broadband. I mean, it's amazing to see, you know, China, India, Brazil, and Russia have 2.7 billion with 8 to 10% GDP growth. Mm-hmm. In China and India alone, over the next 3 years, there'll be an incremental half a billion of these things, potential in terms of incremental stuff. We are going to approach this year probably very close to a billion of these things sold. And a lot of the growth is in the emerging markets that really want to get people connected. And once you connect them, then you start to develop more and more applications as you go.
Great.
Maybe we should move on to the enterprise, as we've got a lot of enterprise yep. users out here.
Sure.
And maybe talk a little bit about your enterprise strategies and things. Ken?
You can tell by the pattern we want to ask you the tough questions first in each section. So, you know, you've had a reorganization recently where you've taken the enterprise group that used to be a direct report and it now works under the networking group. Well, clearly our audience here is very enterprise focused. They want to know that Motorola thinks of them as potential buyers at the top level of the organization. So explain to us why the enterprise group is not a direct report to you.
Well, the enterprise group was never a direct report to me. It was always a member of the government and enterprise
group. Yeah, I meant
we did a reorg and I really I'm not interested in your organization nor even my competitors. I'm interested in products and services. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to, I do a lot of reorgs every year. And
sure.
We saw a lot of synergies in terms of what the government and the enterprise were working on. And also some of the technologies around networking. How do you do the things I just talked about? So where does some of the stuff of WiMAX fit? Where does mesh networks fit? How do you do some of the devices that we want to build for the enterprise? We have today, it's probably a best kept secret, over $1 billion, $1.25 billion enterprise business today. If you're sending a FedEx package tonight, if you're doing something with the US Post Office, chances are one of the ruggedized mobile devices is Motorola's. So we have today a very, pretty good size, very profitable enterprise business. Most of it in the other side of the enterprise and not the office worker type portion.
Let me ask you.
Let me just finish. So we're launching this. We have a whole division now that's enterprise. It's different than some of our competitors, but it's because it's focused on enterprise mobility for the office, for the factory workers, field workers, asset tracking, things along those lines.
But companies like Nokia, though, have a very dedicated enterprise division reporting at board level, and they have, in a sense, a wider suite of products. They have their own email solutions
I disagree. They have a business that's several hundred million, losing several hundred million, that's competing with RIM and Microsoft for hosting email. That is totally not an enterprise division. That is an email software division.
So you don't think you need an email
Absolutely
solution
not.
Of your own?
This is Microsoft Mail. We also have the ability, as I said, to host Yahoo Mail, Google Mail, or Lotus Email, which you'll see shortly. We're not in the mail business. I don't comment on my competitor's strategy, but please don't call that an enterprise division. That's a hosted email division that's losing a couple hundred million dollars right now, a quarter. We are in the enterprise business. We have enterprise people on the street. Go talk to FedEx, UPS, D.H. Lawrence, U.S. Post Office, and other major corporations around the world and see what we're doing in mobile devices. Our goal is to provide these types of devices, these types of services, work with back-end infrastructure on security, administration. The announcement next week, you'll see, will not only be Motorola and our carrier, but we'll have a Microsoft complement, we'll have an EDS complement, an IBM Global Services complement, providing enterprise mobility solutions to the corporations out here. And I'm an enterprise. I have 65,000 people worldwide, global, mobile. So we think we know what to do in this space, and it's a lot different than what some of the other mobile cell phone carriers are doing.